doing? It's Zach Kowski.
Adam Henry.
Bobby Jones.
Jeff Jarrett.
Joe Siddle.
TJ Laramie. And
Holy Mackinac, you're listening to Wind City Sports.
Yo, what up, everybody? My name is Drake Damore, and thank you for streaming or downloading this episode of the Wind City Sports Podcast, Windsor's only a local sports radio show and podcast. The radio show airs live on CJAM 99.1 FM every Thursday at 12:30, and you can hear replays on Tuesdays at 8 p.m. You can catch every single episode of the Wind City Sports Podcast on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, anywhere podcasts are found, or you can directly go to windcitysports.com. We also have Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube. Our handle is at WinCity_sports. So give us a like, follow, subscribe, whatever it may be, and we will remind you about that at the end of the show, as well as how to access the podcast again as we normally do. But today is Thursday, September 26, 2019, and it's episode 164 of Win City Sports. And this week on the show, we're going back to the Windsor Spitfires' golden era of the back-to-back Memorial Cup championship teams, 2008-2009 and the 2009-2010 squads. Something that we've been doing here on the show for pretty much since the beginning. Actually, our second episode ever was with Adam Henrique. And from there, we went on and talked to a lot of players who have went on to pro also, but even some that just were in the junior realm, maybe went on to play hockey elsewhere, but did not make the NHL. That being said, that brings us to another one in our goaltender, Andrew Angelage. He was the backup behind that team in 2009. He didn't play in 2010 for the Spitfires. He moved on to pro and actually with the Toronto Marlies at that point. Talk all about his experience there as well. But that's something that we've always liked to do here on Wind City Sports, is go back and talk to those guys from that era. Obviously, Taylor Hall is the guy that stands out and is remembered, but we have spoken to Adam Henrique, we've spoken to Craig Dunick, Eric Wellwood, Dale Mitchell, and so many more from that era who were part of that awesome group, and just quite the story. So that's what we talk about actually with Andrew, is just the story leading up to all of that, and his experience with the Spits, his entire pro career, which pretty much wrapped up last year, as you will learn. He played overseas, he played all around the world, and he was one hell of a goalie too. So we're going to get into that conversation in just a minute, but first I want to tell you about Cedric's Combat Corner podcast. Wind City Sports presents the brand new Combat Corner on YouTube with Windsor's own and one of the best coaches in Windsor, Cedric Benn. He coaches at Windsor Amateur Boxing Club, coaches at Refined Fitness on Wyandotte, and coaches at Central Combat Sports and many more. He has quite the extensive background and experience, and you can actually listen to him on episode 100 of Wind City Sports. Cedric goes over post-fight analysis from the boxing world and from MMA and the UFC. He breaks down techniques and certain moments and aspects from fights and explains the technique and the philosophy behind it, the boxing knowledge behind it. So he backs it up with facts and even backs it up with video tutorials on his YouTube page. So you can hear the podcast and the tutorials on Cedric Training Sports on YouTube, and check him out everywhere across the board, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, at Cedric Sports. But now without further ado, let's send it over to Andrew Angelage, former goaltender for the Windsor Spitfires. Here we go.
On the phone right now, we have a former Windsor Spitfire and 2009 OHL and Memorial Cup champion. He was a wall behind that Spits team that led them through the OHL playoffs and through that crazy ride in Rimouski. He's played all around the world, and he's now a goalkeeper for the Whippy Dunlops. Andrew Angelage, welcome to the show, man.
Oh, thanks for having me.
So I wasn't even sure if you were still playing as of last year. I was trying to find you, but then I found that article about the Dunlops and you going into playoffs with them. So I'm sure you're still enjoying the game.
Yeah. No, it was a good opportunity to kind of get out. Still enjoy the game at a pretty competitive level, playing there, and kind of enjoy that camaraderie of hanging out in the dressing room and seeing the guys.
Yeah, at a different little level where you could still have some fun. It's obviously not like a full time thing, right?
No, it's not too full time. We'll practice occasionally, and then usually about two games a weekend with a weekend off here and there. But I think I don't think doesn't look like I'll be playing this year. I've kind of moved a little too far away. I'm living in between Belleville and Trenton now, so it's a bit too far of a commute, it looks like, for me this year. But yeah, they're going at it. it again for the try and make a run for the Allen Cup. I think it's being hosted again, and I think it's being shared this year in Ontario. But I think between I'm pretty sure Hamilton and maybe Stoney Creek. I'm not 100% sure on that.
Cool. And it was kind of a good setup for you, right? Pretty close to your hometown.
Yeah, it was nice. I was living in Oshawa. I was kind of getting settled post hockey career. I was trying to figure out what I was going to do for work, and then so I was still living in the area in Oshawa, and it was nice to kind of throw the equipment on a little bit here and there, and like I said, kind of enjoy being around the guys again. I think that's a pretty big part that you miss when you stop playing.
That's a huge part of it, no doubt about it.
Yeah.
So what's kind of go through your whole career now, man? We'll circle back to last year, at least, with the Dunlops. 2006, 2007 was your first season with the Spits. So what are your earliest memories of coming into the club or coming to Windsor?
In a transition period, starting at the bottom with that kind of the junior cycle that teams kind of go through, and kind of not tanking, but we certainly, we traded away our best assets. We had like Mike Weber, who was just a horse for us that year, so we ended up trading him away, and we had Anthony Guagnolo in net, and we made the trade to Owen Sound for Josh Bailey, and I think we got Jesse Blacker's pick in that deal. So it was a bit of an eye-opener because we were kind of competitive until we made the trades, and then to really bottom out like that was a bit of a learning experience, I would say, kind of going into games knowing you're probably going to be taking your beatings, but trying to learn everything you could at that time, I guess, take as many experiences out of it as you could.
Yeah, I always say, like you said, it's all critical, and then being 16, 17, 18 years old also is probably pretty, heavy on you.
Yeah. I think, we were pretty fortunate. We had the young kids we were all there on that team. It might have helped us bond together, I would almost say. Like, when you're going through that every night, it can be hard on a team. It can be hard on your kind of mentality. But I think in a way, it kind of maybe almost made us a little closer as a team.
Yeah, there certainly could be a lot of pressure too. And I mean, from that article, I read that there was quite the interesting story about you even just kind of getting onto the team. I guess about being scouted in a AAA game.
Yeah, it was actually Double A. I kind of took a pretty odd route to making it to the OHL. I didn't get drafted in my first year. Kind of got looked over, whether I was even good enough. Who knows? But and then my second year, I kind of made the tier two team. But then the Oshawa Generals sent down the goalie, so that kind of bumped me. And then the AAA team had already done their tryouts and made their team, and they didn't want to kind of renege on the goalies that they had said yes to. And then so I kind of played Double A. For me at that point, hockey was just kind of just enjoy it, have fun, which is kind of how I think it should be for a lot of kids. I think there's a lot of pressure on kids a little early these days, but it was really just being pretty fortunate that I believe there's a scout's kid that I played against in that league, and he somehow maybe liked what he saw and then kind of passed that on, and then they kind of took a flyer on me in the late rounds of the draft. So really my whole career, I would say, kind of pretty fortunate to that one moment.
It's pretty cool. And so you're technically drafted by the Spits?
Yeah, then drafted by the Spitfires. Yeah. No, then even making the team after that was pretty lucky. I had Bill Dark, who was the goalie coach, kind of took a shining to me, because at that point they had Jake Fisher, who was pretty highly touted at that time. He was a really good goalie that had been invited to, I believe, like the Canadian Canadian goalie camp in Calgary, I believe, that summer. So for me, even going into that year, it seemed highly unlikely that I would be able to find a roster spot. So once again, pretty fortunate that I had Bill Dark, who kind of liked what he saw and thought he could work with me, and kind of another lucky bounce to making my way.
That's awesome. It's funny you mentioned that, and as you also mentioned, that it was a transition group, a transition period for the team, and you were lucky enough to stick around because, as you said, they were just trading all their assets to rebuild, right? Do you feel that you kind of got into a comfortable spot with the Spits after maybe a year or two, as you had also mentioned, kind of humble coming in and eventually were the starter? So what was the transition like for you?
Yeah, it was tough. I'm not sure I was physically ready for that transition that first year. After we traded Anthony Guagnolo, I was kind of starting every game. My body kind of crumbled. I had a few groin injuries that I was kind of struggling to play through, and I think my play struggled probably a little bit with that. But yeah, it was certainly a pretty tough transition. It's never easy going in feeling like you not quite playing on a level playing field. I remember some nights going into the Plymouth Whaler Arena, just getting ready to take your shellacking, because they were a bit of a powerhouse that year, them, the London Knights. Yeah, we were in tough against it, but like I said, I think it kind of brought us together for the kids who were there, and then kind of gave us that building block to really push through it the following couple of years.
Absolutely, and it surely paid off. Come up to your overage year was the one that put the cherry on top of everything. It has to be one of the more memorable years of your career, 2008-2009.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't think there's anything for me that really could top that. I did a little win a championship in Italy, but it's a little different when you're in there for 1 year and then you're kind of gone the next, whereas here you kind of built up with the guys for me, it was 3 years. The rest of them were obviously quite fortunate to go on and dominate again for another season. But yeah, it was a great year for me and for the team. I think I'm not sure if we totally knew how good we were going to be that year, but yeah, I think everything kind of fell into place. We kind of were in that point where we didn't lose too many guys to World Juniors. I think it was like maybe Halsey, Ellis, and Nemish, I think, we lost to World Juniors that year, which kind of allowed us to keep rolling through that Christmas break and kind of keep the team running. And yeah, obviously capping it off with an OHL championship first, although actually I shouldn't even skip over the London Knights series, which I think when a lot of people look back at that, I think that was almost the championship series more so than the Brampton series. Not to take anything away from Brampton, they were a good team in their own right, but I feel like when we played the London Knights, like those games were just outrageous, obviously, with every game going to overtime, and we were fortunate enough to win 4 out of 5 of them.
It's just the story too, man, like you had mentioned, just that tight-knit group and playing a rival team like London. When you look back on it, it's just it seemed like it came out of nowhere, but it's almost like a movie or something.
Yeah, for sure. I think another thing Shane looked over was Randall passing away in our second season. Mm-hmm. I think he was also a big part of everything that happened there. I think that happening was such a glue event for that group of guys. I think that's something that kind of helped us all kind of really stick together. I think you look at times like in the World Cup, we were lost the first two games, and things looked pretty bleak and terrible at that moment in time. And then, we just had a group of guys that were so close together that there was almost kind of crazily no doubt in us that, you know, if someone was going to kind of pull this off, like, we certainly had the quality to do that.
Yeah, I've talked to a lot of guys on the show from that team, and I've kind of told that story to kind of allude to what you're saying. It's good that you brought that up, actually. So for someone that was, you know, in a different position as a goalie, I want you to kind of bring me through that whole Rimouski tournament. And from what I understand, I guess at that one point when you guys were down 0-2, you guys all just kind of got together, and it's not like somebody actually spoke up. It's like everyone knew where you had to go from here, what needed to be done, and nothing really needed to be said, apparently.
Yeah, it was, you know, I'd be probably lying if I said I had that kind of confidence going into it. I don't think I had really played particularly all that well. I think, I personally didn't really have that great of a tournament, so I would say my confidence in it all was probably not the highest, but I think all around us, I think we had a bunch of people on that team that just had a extreme confidence in their abilities. I think, you know, some people on the outside might look at it as almost being kind of cocky in a way, but I kind of disagree with that. I think it's more of like just a deep confidence in themselves, I think. And I think that's kind of why, you know, we had such a good team and a lot of guys that were making it professionally. But, yeah, no, there really wasn't too much said. We just kind of, as a team, the coaches kind of took us on we went to like a restaurant, shot some kind of pool tournament, and just kind of took our minds away from what was going on and the lack of success we had had, and just kind of hit the reset button. I think, with that paired with the internal confidence of the guys on the team, I think that just kind of allowed us to reset and kind of move on from there.
Tell the story, man. It's something that we'll always reminisce about here in Windsor, obviously, like why I wanted to speak with yourself. From there, you went on to play some very good hockey, and your first pro stint came with the Toronto Marlies. Obviously, some great players were there too, and some other Spits, Dale Mitchell, Jesse Blacker, Richard Greenup. So what was that experience like for you?
Yeah, pretty nice to have those guys kind of involved. I mean, when you can take kind of a next step in your career, but you still have that familiarity of guys that you've been around for a few years, it's always makes things a little easier. I think for me personally, I think I still kind of had some learning to do at that stage. I think I was maybe still a little young and didn't truly realize what it took to be a real professional, which kind of led me to actually being pretty fortunate in meeting Mark Fitzgerald. He's a fitness trainer he was just in Anaheim. I'm not totally sure if he's still there. They kind of made some changes after last season, but running it, he was the fitness guy with the Toronto Marlies, and that was huge for me. I think that kind of allowed me to really get a in-depth learning of kind of what it takes like to get prepared in the summer. I think that was a big part for kind of allowing me to kind of play a little longer and, you know, kind of play at a higher level. If you look at those first couple years in the Marlies, the statistics aren't exactly too glowing, but I think once I realized what it took, I think it, my play and ability to not get injured and keep playing kind of took off from there, which kind of allowed me to play for as long as I did.
Mm-hmm. That was pretty much the beginning of your career, really. And you spent a lot of time in Utah with the Grizzlies in the ECHL. A few seasons was spent there. So was that good for you? I mean, if you were able to stick around and kind of settle on a team or a spot for a while.
Yeah, it was fun. It was challenging at times. It's a tough league to play in. There's a lot of games, a lot of player movement. You know, like, forget. I think 1 year we had about 50 different players on our roster in one season, which is it's a high turnover, which is it can make things difficult, especially when you're playing so many games. It kind of wears on the body, but I certainly had a lot of fun. I really enjoyed my time there. I think Salt Lake City's a pretty underrated city. It's a real cool location. With you got the mountains and your Salt Lake's kind of in the valley. It's a pretty cool spot. But I really enjoyed my time there, and unfortunately, kind of ended a little bit rough my last year there. I had a concussion, and then I had hip surgery. So I think I only played like a handful of games my last year there. So it kind of ended on a bit of a rough note, but for the rest of the time, I certainly enjoyed my time there. Did a lot of learning.
Absolutely, man. And you played with Mark Carroll there too, correct? He's the GM of Dunlop's.
I played with Marcus there my first year. Yeah, unfortunately, he was a good player for us. Unfortunately, his kind of career kind of got cut short with a bit of a back injury, which was pretty unfortunate. But he was a gutsy, gritty player, as I'm sure all the Owen Sound fans would know. I think he might even be like the all-time games played leader there, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah. But yeah, he's got a bit of a track record in Owen Sound.
He actually sent in a question for me after we set up the interview. He wants to remember if you remember when he let you up for a couple.
Oh, I'm sure he would remember it that way. If that's the case of what actually happened, I'm not so sure about that.
No footage, so couldn't find it. That's a little funny thing.
I'll
had to say.
My word on that one. I don't think it happened.
That's great. But one thing I wanted to highlight actually was following that time, 2013, 2014, you played a full season with the Arizona Sundogs in the CHL. CHL's last season as well, and you were the last goaltender of the year. So it had to have been a good year for you.
No, that's correct. That was an interesting season because, like I said, I had the hip surgery it kind of took me a while to get going there. I would say up until maybe like December, I was, to be quite frankly, not very good. I sucked for a while, kind of trying to get my game back, kind of find it again. With my hip, it's tough. You got to get it firing again, kind of retrain all the muscles and everything that they're kind of cutting through. And it just took me a while to get going, really, really feel comfortable and play like myself. But once I managed to kind of get going again and feel good again in about January, our team went on a bit of a heater. We were almost in last place, but then we managed to squeak into the playoffs, and then we upset the number one seed that year. And then, unfortunately, I kind of got hurt in the second round again, and then kind of derailed that little run that we had going. But then I was fortunate to win goalie of the year that year, which was a pretty good honor. Kind of cool that'll be the last person to kind of ever hold on to that, as the league ended up merging with the East Coast Hockey League after that.
Yeah, it's certainly something to be proud of. It was a pro league, and it was a very pretty prestigious league, so it's definitely something to be proud of.
Yeah, not bad. I would compare it, like, it was pretty comparable to the East Coast League. I think it was maybe a little slightly older, maybe for guys who are maybe looking to get paid a little better than the East Coast League. I don't know if you know, but the East Coast League isn't overly financially beneficial there.
It's
kind of a proving ground, and you're not exactly hoping to stick around there.
Absolutely, and that's why I figured with you playing a few years there that you had found a comfortable spot, right? Regardless of what that's the league pretty much for you, though, right? Like, that's what its purpose is. So, but if you find happiness there, whatever, right?
Yeah.
But after that, you went over to Europe. You spent 4 years there. You went to Norway, Italy, Germany. It looks like Austria as well. So, a lot of guys might go and not last very long, but some do. So I'm sure that you enjoyed Europe and got to see the world and stuff like that, right?
Absolutely. I think I was pretty fortunate. I didn't have like an incredible resume going over there, but I kind of found a spot in Norway in my first year, and it ended up being a pretty incredible experience there. The team I played for in Norway, the Storhamar Dragons, they were a team that was kind of financially in trouble, and they had some key contributors come in kind of trying to save the team. And we were pretty fortunate. We had a good group of guys that kind of turned it around there and kind of brought the fans back. And what a group of fans they have. I think I'm not 100% if I recall correctly, but the city's only about like 40,000 people maybe. Mm-hmm. And you know, by the end of the playoffs, we made it to the championship finals, which we weren't really expected to do. And they had I think 8,000 or 9,000 strong coming into the arena. They were filling everything with standing room only. It was a pretty incredible experience there, and they treated us incredibly well. My wife came and lived there as well. They treated her really well and actually helped her find work there, which was really beneficial. So yeah, we really enjoyed our time in Norway. And then what was next? I went to Italy, which was a pretty incredible experience. We were living on a mountaintop. So like there was days where you were waking up and the clouds would be below you in the valley, which was pretty neat. We were fortunate enough to have a really good team there and ended up winning the Italian championship, and which was a lot of fun. They celebrating that after in a small town. It was like a town of I think only a couple hundred people in the actual town that we were playing in. But they got a little parade going down there for us, which was pretty awesome.
That's fantastic, man. I've been able to go to Italy a few times, and it's a beautiful country for sure. So, but to blend hockey into it, being Canadian, you know, it's pretty cool, kind of comical too. But again, yeah, it's just about the experience, you know. If you find a good group and a good fan base, that's what really matters the most, right? And as long as you're enjoying it.
Yeah, that's one thing I will say. I was pretty fortunate with everywhere I went. We had good fan bases everywhere I played in Europe. And it can really make or break things. I was fortunate to be treated really well everywhere I went, and you know, also got paid everywhere I went, which is it can be a bit of a nightmare scenario sometimes. There are some teams in Europe, some leagues where you're not totally sure that every paycheck is going to be coming through, but you kind of have to do your homework a little bit and kind of figure out, talk to other people about the reliability of some places. But I was really fortunate and kind of ended up with really, really quality organizations everywhere I went in Europe.
Yeah. Of course, it's a business, but your happiness still plays a huge role in it, just like any other job, really.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's one of the things, actually, that was nice about playing in Europe was you get to play less games overall there. Their seasons are not shorter in time, but they play less games. They typically only play like 1 to 2 games a week, so it's a little easier on the body. Also, as an import player, you get time. There's 2 breaks during the year where their national teams will play games against each other. So as an import, Canada and USA aren't doing that, so we get to kind of have a couple days off. And since you're in Europe, everything's so close, you can hop on a plane, train, or car and get somewhere that's pretty neat that you haven't seen before. So we got to do a little bit of traveling as well, which was pretty awesome over the 4 years.
Yeah, exactly. What more can you ask for? I mean, it seems like a lot of guys like that schedule, and it seems like it kind of is accustomed to the European lifestyle too, just kind of relaxed and laid back.
Yeah, absolutely. It is. It's a completely different lifestyle over there than here. you know, and to say who's right or wrong, you'll never know. But it certainly in Europe, it's a little more relaxed, a little more laid back. The kind of so-called rat race that kind of happens a little bit in North America doesn't really exist so much there, which is an interesting aspect. And you know, like I said, like to say if that's right or wrong is to kind of teach their own. But
yeah.
I certainly enjoyed my time over there.
Yeah, absolutely, man. I would love to be able to spend some time there like you did and make some money. You know, like I said, it's a business, but I'm sure everyone enjoys that Senior A schedule as well to kind of bring you back home. So last year, you made the decision to come home. I'm sure that was a big part of it as well. But I believe you got a call from Carol, and that's how you ended up on the Dunlops, or how did that all come to be?
When I kind of hadn't signed anywhere for following my last season, I got a few phone calls from Marcus, especially. It was good to catch up with him from our playing time quite a few years ago. But he was, gotta give him credit, he was pretty persistent. I wasn't, being my first year kind of not playing, I was pretty content with kind of taking time off, kind of let the body heal and kind of relax a little bit. As much as playing hockey is fun, goalie, you're still getting pucks shot at you, so it's not always a total thrill. But he was quite persistent throughout the year. I think I played one game maybe towards the start of the year, but wasn't really enough to kind of get me to commit. And then towards the end of the season, he was pretty adamant, pretty persistent. So I got to give him credit for getting me in there. But it was fun once I got going. It took a little while, just playing a couple games. It's different. Kind of had to adjust with going from like the playing every day. You get into a routine and you get into that rhythm of playing all the time. You got kind of get comfortable and your body adjusts to seeing all the shots. And then to going to not doing that and just playing like once or twice a week is. Kind of difficult to adjust to, but eventually I got in there and started playing a little better. But at the beginning it was a little tough. I wasn't playing quite up to the level I was hoping.
Mm-hmm. Well, again, it's a transition, right?
Yeah, no, for sure.
But to kind of like bring it all together, as you mentioned, we talked about being recruited to the Spits and then being able to play pro around the world and then bring it back to close to home and Whitby there to play another year. Would you feel that your story is kind of a good example to players, you know, in the sense of hard work pays off? You weren't like a highly touted goaltender going into OHL drafts and just stuck with it, and look at what you've been able to make a living out of, really.
Yeah, no, I was time in, especially even more so once I realized you know, the work and the effort that it took. I kind of had my eyes open after my first year pro, and once I started putting the time and the work in, and, you know, things really improved from there for me personally. But I was always kind of under the radar. I think there's so many people that get so caught up with where am I ranked and what am I doing, and I just kind of played my game and kind of just let pieces fall where they may, which has always kind of been my personality. But and then things always work out. You just gotta put your time in and kind of try and perform the best you can on the ice, and then if you're good enough, people will find you eventually. Might take a little more time than others, but you'll get noticed eventually.
Yeah, you just don't have to worry about all the numbers and stuff like that all the time, right?
No, it'll drive you crazy if you do, I think.
Exactly. And my last question to kind of wrap it up, why do they call you the Godfather?
The Godfather, well, that's just because I am, actually. my former teammate and good friend, Josh Bailey, he's got two sons, and I'm the Godfather for the first one. I think that that nickname
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, sometimes there's some interesting stories behind nicknames. You never know, right?
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. All right, man. Well, as you mentioned, probably not going to be playing this year. Just kind of living life, and you had a tremendous career. Obviously, remember you down here in Windsor with the Spitfires and that wonderful Memorial Cup run, and just a great story as we had talked about with the Spits. So thank you so much, and all the best to you, man.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Thanks for having me.
All right. What up, everybody? Drake DeMore back here on the podcast. That was Andrew Angelage, former Windsor Spitfire, Toronto Marley, and pro hockey player, goaltender around the world. Great conversation with him. Thanks for taking the time to do it. And never know what's in store for Angie, too. You never know. He could be coming back in a year or two, play for the Dunlops or something. It's got to be awesome to make a career and a living playing hockey and seeing the world. Right now, we're just going to wrap up the podcast, a little bit of local news and upcoming events, stuff like that. Windsor Lancers Athletes of the Week this week. You can hear on the radio show or check us out on social media. But they are Alyssa Getty from the golf team and Bryce Phillips from the men's soccer team. Lancers soccer teams are on the road this weekend, but both men's and women's hockey will have preseason action at the Capri Pizza Center, formerly known as South Windsor Arena, and at Central Park Athletics, formerly known as the Ice Park. A lot of other teams, including volleyball, cross country and golf, will be on the road, and as well as football. Actually, no, football will be at home playing Western Mustangs at 1 p.m. here at the University of Windsor Alumni Field. We'll have more on that on the radio show. Windsor Spitfires opened up their regular season play last weekend. Saturday, they had, strangely, a Saturday night home opener at the WFCU Center and defeated the Peterborough Petes with a whopping 9-6 win, coming back from a 4-goal deficit. They have the Erie Otters tonight at the WFCU Center and then are on the road for the rest of the weekend, Friday and Saturday in Hamilton, and then back in Erie, and then coming back home next Thursday for the regular Thursday night game. Windsor Express basketball team has a few signings announced on their social media for the season, which should be kicking off in the next few months. And our AKO Fratman football team picked up another win on the road this weekend against the GTA Grizzlies. 60-30 was the final score to improve their record to 4-1 in the season. Only three games remaining and one home game remaining this Saturday as they welcome the London Beefeaters to Alumni Field at 8 p.m. But it looks like that's it this week on Wind City Sports. My name is Drake DeMore, and I'm here every Thursday with a brand new podcast and a brand new episode of the Wind City Sports radio show on CJAM 99.1 FM in Windsor and Detroit at 12:30. And you can hear replays on Tuesdays at 8 p.m. You can catch every single episode of the Wind City Sports podcast, wherever you're listening to it right now, of course. But we're available on every podcast platform, including Spotify and Apple Podcasts. But you can directly go to WindCitySports.com. Give us a follow on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, or YouTube. Like, follow, subscribe, whatever it may be, at WindCity_sports, or simply search up Wind City Sports or the Wind City Sports Podcast. Wind City is all one word, WINCITY. And you can follow me, Drake DeMore, on Instagram and Twitter, at Drake DeMore. But until next week, smell you later.